what the hiring process looks like, what documents you will need, and what happens the moment you step on board for the first time. The recruitment process for cruise line positions follows a fairly consistent path across most companies, regardless of department. This article focuses on the casino department, but with a few exceptions noted below, the same general process applies to most guest-facing roles on board. If you are considering a position in another department, most of what follows still applies to you. How the process starts, direct versus agency. The first thing to understand is that cruise lines are not uniform in how they handle recruitment. Some companies work exclusively through agencies for their hiring, while others deal directly with applicants throughout the entire process. The distinction matters because it affects your experience from day one. Carnival, for example, accepts resumes directly through their website, but once your application is reviewed and approved, you are typically forwarded to one of the agencies they work with to handle the rest of the process. Other companies, including NCL, Celebrity, and MSC, may manage the full recruitment cycle in-house, dealing directly with candidates from initial application through to contract, or they may route candidates through agencies. The interview stages. If your resume passes the initial review, the first interview is usually a remote conversation over Skype, Zoom, or a similar platform with an HR representative from the company. The focus at this stage is broad: general fit, communication ability, language proficiency, and whether you present as someone who can represent the company professionally in a guest-facing environment. This applies equally to casino and non-casino positions. For casino department applicants, a second stage follows, the table test. This is where the process diverges from other departments, and it often requires more logistical planning than candidates expect. Table tests can be conducted in several ways depending on your location and the company's infrastructure. If you live near a port that one of the company's ships visits regularly, you may be invited to attend the ship on a scheduled date to complete your test on board. You may also be directed to one of the company's partner agencies in your region to complete the test at their facility. Either way, some degree of travel is often involved, and it is worth confirming the arrangements and any associated costs before committing. If you are not applying to the casino department, no additional testing is required beyond the initial interview. From that point, the process moves directly into documentation. After the table test, a response from the company typically comes within a few days to a week. A positive response often comes with a ship assignment already attached, which means the timeline from approval to joining can compress quickly. It is not unusual to receive a contract and a join date simultaneously, so having your documentation preparation underway before you receive a final answer is the smart move. Documentation, what you will need. The paperwork required to join a cruise ship is more involved than most first-time applicants anticipate, and some components take longer to arrange than others. Starting early is not overcaution, it is practical planning. Passport. Your passport needs to be valid for at least 6 months beyond your scheduled join date. This is a hard requirement, not a guideline. Check the expiry date before you apply and factor in the processing time for renewal if needed. Medical certificate. A crew medical is required, and it must be completed at a company-approved clinic. This is worth paying attention to before you book an appointment, because the price difference between approved clinics can be large. The same assessment that costs $450 at one facility may cost $950 at another. Request a full list of approved clinics from the company and compare before committing. Some companies and itineraries also require an ENG-1 medical certificate, which is a specific maritime medical standard. If this applies to your contract, factor in additional cost and potential wait time for results. C1/D visa. For most itineraries, a USC 1/D transit visa is required for crew members. There are exceptions. If you are joining an MSC ship on a European itinerary, for instance, this visa may not be necessary. But for the majority of international cruise contracts, particularly those operating through U.S. ports, the C1/D is a standard requirement. The application process takes time and has a fee, so treat this as a priority item. Vaccinations. Vaccination requirements are non-negotiable for cruise line employment. Yellow fever and polio are commonly required, and depending on your ship's itinerary and ports of call, additional vaccinations may be mandated. Companies update their requirements periodically, so confirm the current list directly with your crew office rather than relying on older information. This list covers the most consistently required documents, but it is not exhaustive. Requirements vary by company, itinerary, and sometimes by the specific ship. The crew office is your most reliable source for a complete and current checklist. Treat any document list from a third-party source, including this article, as a starting point. The crew office has the final word. The journey to the ship. Once your documentation is in order and your join date is confirmed, the logistics of getting to your ship begin. Depending on which port you are joining from, this may involve an immigration interview upon arrival. These interviews are routine for cruise line staff, and immigration officers are generally familiar with the process. The main thing is to have your documents organized and accessible: passport, contract, and any other paperwork. If anything is requested, you can produce it immediately, rather than searching through your luggage at the counter. Most companies arrange a hotel for the night before boarding. A port agent will typically meet you at the airport and handle the transfer to the hotel. This transit night serves as a practical buffer between a long-haul flight and the demands of your first day on board. Make use of it to rest and organize your belongings before you board. The first time stepping onto a large cruise ship is disorienting. These are enormous vessels, the scale of a small city, and the internal layout is not intuitive until you have spent time learning it. Corridors look similar. Deck numbers require orientation, and finding the crew mess, the crew bar, or your own cabin in the first few days takes more effort than it will after a week. This is normal, and it passes. Most companies build a transition period of 1 to 2 weeks into new crew onboarding to allow for this adjustment. Upon boarding, you will typically be met by your department manager or a designated buddy, depending on whether the company uses a buddy system. They will walk you through the immediate essentials: picking up your crew card from the purser's office, a brief overview of key rules and policies on board, and a tour of the main crew facilities. The tour usually covers where to eat, where the crew bar is, how the crew card payment system works, and how to navigate the sections of the ship relevant to your daily life. One practical note worth flagging: your first working day on board is typically the same day you board. The hotel night before joining is effectively your day off. Expect to be working from the day you step on board and plan accordingly. The first 2 weeks also involve mandatory safety and compliance training. This is a requirement for all new crew, regardless of department, and it runs alongside your regular duties. The schedule can feel dense during this period, but the training exists for substantive reasons, and the workload normalizes quickly once the initial onboarding is complete. What life on board looks like. Once the orientation period settles and the ship's layout starts to feel familiar, the day-to-day rhythm of onboard life takes shape. The practical logistics of living on a ship are simpler than land-based life in important ways. Meals are provided, accommodation is steps from your workplace, and most of what you need is within a short walk. There are no commutes, no grocery runs, no utility bills. The operational friction of daily life is, for most purposes, removed. This simplicity has a flip side worth keeping in mind. After an extended contract at sea, returning to the routines of land life requires a period of readjustment that people sometimes underestimate: cooking, budgeting, commuting, managing a household. These are skills that lose sharpness when you spend months not using them. The comfort of ship life is real, but so is the importance of not letting ordinary life skills atrophy during a long contract. The defining benefit of cruise line work, beyond the compensation, is access. The itineraries that come with a contract represent a form of travel that most people fund out of savings and time off. Ports, countries, coastlines, cities. On a ship, it comes with the job. The range of experiences available across a career at sea is hard to replicate through any other professional path. Whether the lifestyle itself suits you is something that cannot be determined in advance. The adjustment to communal living, extended time away from home, and the compressed social world of a ship crew is one that some people take to immediately and others struggle with. There is no reliable way to know which group you are in until you have done it. The recruitment process is longer and more document-heavy than most land-based hiring. Start your paperwork early, understand which model your target company uses, and arrive at each stage prepared. The logistics are manageable. They just reward people who plan ahead.